Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we'll be talking about another one of our old churches here in Jessamine County. Today, we focus on Providence Christian Church. We'll talk to its pastor right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue to learn more about the place in which we live, the people, places, and things. Well, today we're going to talk about another one of our old churches here in Jessamine County, one that has been around for quite a few years and kind of at the same spot. I know a couple of buildings at the same spot. Now they are in a new building in a little bit different location, but close to where they started, and that is the Providence Christian Church on Nicholasville Road North here in Jessamine County. Carol Devine, hi.
Hi.
You're the pastor at Providence Christian, and I appreciate you coming in today and telling us a little bit of the history of that old church. And looking back about Providence, I know a lot of people may remember the building that used to sit up on Nicholasville Road, kind of behind where Red Robin is right now.
That's correct.
But we have to go back before that building to another building that even, well, that still sits there and on up in Fayette County, I think. So let's go back as far as we can. Now, I understand that I think it first started up around where Waveland is. Is that correct?
The first meeting was at what we now call Waveland. It was a home of a member from what is now South Elkhorn Christian Church, what was at that time
Over on Harrisburg Road.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And at that time was South Elkhorn Baptist Church. And some of their members, they have mothered, if you will, several congregations around in several counties, actually. And we are one of their daughters. We're their fifth daughter. And so some members went up and had some meetings at Waveland, and from that decided to start a church. So 70 members, actually, from South Elkhorn Baptist came and started Providence Baptist Church.
At the Waveland location. Yes, at the home.
That was
that
where
time.
They're very, yes.
At the home.
Yes.
And you know, it's odd. We just did a show a couple of weeks ago on Mount Pleasant Baptist Church,
yes,
which came out of South Elkhorn Baptist.
Yes.
Same place you're talking about.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
So the family or the families met in that home on Waveland. They decided, okay, it's time to have our own now. You said it came out of South Elkhorn Baptist. At that time, was it Providence Baptist?
It was.
Okay.
It was. So we were started as a Baptist congregation. And one of my favorite, there's lots of interesting tidbits in any church's history.
True.
But one of my favorite tidbits is that their very first pastor was named Jeremiah Vardman.
Okay.
Brother Vardman, they called him. And he wrote a letter. We have a little excerpt from a letter that he sent after he was called to Providence, where he basically said, in a nutshell, they really need me. They're a mess. And so he came and was their pastor, and but during the time that he was their pastor, he started teaching them some of Alexander and Thomas Campbell's ideas, theologies, which is kind of, let's strip away the doctrine and the dogma and get back to the New Testament church. Mm-hmm. And Providence fell in line with that understanding. Well, in the meantime, after Jeremiah Vardman left Providence Baptist Church, he decided to turn away from those Campbellite leanings and back to his strict Baptist beginnings, and was the one in the South Elkhorn Baptist Association who presented the resolution that Providence Baptist should be kicked out of the Baptist Association for their Campbellite leanings. So Providence became Providence Christian Church because the very first pastor that they had brought up a resolution saying that they weren't, you know, worthy of the Baptist name, and is the ones that had them disassociated, and then they fell in and became Christian. Yes.
No, you're just, it's pure speculation, I'm sure. But I mean, to me, just hearing it as a layperson right off the bat, it's almost like, did this guy have an ulterior motive when he started?
It makes you wonder. I don't necessarily think that. I don't want to think bad about him at all. But I just think it's really funny that the very ideas that he introduced in the church were what he brought up in a resolution
to get him out. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right. So they met and they finally, they had to become a Christian church.
Yes.
That's what they became.
Yes.
Now, at what point did they come around on Nixville Road? Now, people, you all need to understand that the old Providence church that my generation would know, that is now gone.
Correct.
Because of the development of Brandon Crossing, was not the original building that Providence Christian was in. That building's still there. Isn't that correct?
Well, no, their very first church actually burned down.
Okay.
And they lost another church mostly to a tornado. So it would have been a wooden.
So there was two buildings before that then.
Oh. And so the church that you are familiar with, that most everyone would have grown up with, would have been 100 years old this year.
Wow.
It was built in 1917.
Okay.
And was a great building and set up high. Now, of course, we see now that Red Robin is, they dug all out. So
yes.
You can't even almost envision it.
Yeah.
But right there, the Claiborne Antiques was their church prior to 1917. So that's a very old building.
But there was two buildings prior to that.
Well, but they were smaller
buildings.
Wooden,
yeah. So kind of as far as a brick structure of, you know, I guess you would consider the one the antique store now. Now, before it was the church, though, I understand it, I think, was a school, Providence School. And it seems like there was even something before that, before the school. But I know that there are people, I don't know if there's anybody, there might still be some people living and listening that actually went to Providence School.
Well, and we did have a church member and a community member, Harold Waits, who passed away last year, who went to that school. So there are probably some folks in their upper 80s and 90s who are still alive who went to that school, yes.
So what year would it, if you know, what year would it have been that the church was located in the current antique building? The one that's still standing.
Well, it would have been prior to 1917.
So 17 is when the building you said that I would remember that was brought down for Brandon Crossing was there. Now, they were there for quite a long time.
Well, almost 100 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've just been in our current location since the very end of 2007.
Okay. So. Now, for those people that, we'll go and finish that little part of the story. If you go down, what's the name of the street? Brandon Crossing is all I know. Is that what it's
Brandon
called?
Road. Yes.
If you go on down into that subdivision or into that shopping center, if you will, past Red Robin and past the Kroger and past the Marshalls and on down past, even past the theater, isn't it?
Correct. Right behind the theater.
Right on that next corner is your new building.
That is correct.
All right. So
we're right across from the Central Baptist.
Yeah, the healthcare place.
The healthcare place there, right. And then diagonally across from Legacy Center.
Were you pastor when the move?
I was not.
It was before you.
Yes. I've just been with the church for 5 years.
Okay.
And so in the end of 2007, I believe November, they moved in.
That had to be a hard decision.
It was a very hard decision.
You know, that because any time that you, whether it's in a church, whether it's in a downtown building, I've seen it happen in Nicholasville. Any time that old buildings are vacated and eventually even just taken down.
Absolutely.
It invokes a sadness to a point. It also, there are people who are upset. Of course, you know, you have to look at it from a financial standpoint. There's a whole lot of things that are involved other than it's just historical, so to speak.
There are a lot of things involved. And as I understand the story, they did first say no. But then what happened is the developers dug out where it is now low all around the church so that if you walked to the edge of the church lawn, it was a 15-foot drop.
Damn.
And so then they were this, you know, kind of weird-looking island. And
because it was all around them?
Yes. Wow. It was around, well, on two sides.
Okay,
right?
All right.
And
all right.
So that they then were just kind of hanging there, if you will.
Yeah.
And there needed to be some things done to the physical building. It was not handicap accessible. Mm-hmm. There were some church members, actually, who were able to come back to church who hadn't been in a while
because
once
of that.
We moved.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And see, that's the thing that people don't think
right.
about. You know, a lot of these buildings, even downtown Nicholasville, you know, they've been around for a long time, but it would take a tremendous amount of money
so much.
To fix them back.
Yes.
And unless you have somebody that wants to invest that kind of money, the couple of things are going to happen. Either they're going to sit there in disrepair and look terrible, or they've got to be taken down.
That's right.
And it's the sad part of it.
It is.
But that's, I guess, what they call progress. So in 2007, the new church was built back down where you're talking about, down Brannan, toward the back of that shopping center, I
Correct.
Guess. And new people were able to come. And have you picked up a lot of new people because of that? Because now that's developed back in there quite a bit, hasn't it?
Well, of course they moved right when the Great Recession happened. And
yeah.
So all of the stuff that was supposed to happen would just became a dead standstill.
Yeah.
So when I came in, everything was still kind of, nothing was moving back there in the back of that development. And the church was, I don't want to say we were hurting, but we were kind of in what's going on here.
Right,
you know, it wasn't the boom we expected. However, now that they are developing again, and we actually have had in the last two Sundays, two new families who have come in who are, one of them is building and the other just mm-hmm. moved in back there. So we now have a lot more people coming. We probably have six families who live in mm-hmm. the, in either the new development or right around there in that huge neighborhood.
Yeah. And it will get bigger and it will grow,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things that I would point out that from the old church, from the 1917 church mm-hmm. that was torn down, they did take things from their previous church, that's Claiborne Antiques, mm-hmm. into when they built the new church,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So when they decided to do this new building, they wanted to do the same thing. So we have the stained glass
Good.
From the old church.
Good.
While that they decided to go chairs rather than pews, we do have the old pews along the back walls.
Mm-hmm.
We do have like sconces and our formal lighting is all from the old church. So while it is a new building and it definitely feels new and fresh, there's also a lot of history that they intentionally
right.
brought in.
Right.
And it also gives it that kind of warmer feeling, and it makes
sure.
it feel more of a traditional church rather than
yeah.
And
anytime you can tie it to the past and from where you came
right.
has got to help your future.
Right.
Of course. How many pastors have we had at Providence? Do you know?
I actually have a whole list of them at home. When Providence first began with Brother Vardman,
mm-hmm.
That was back when pastors would travel each Sunday to a different church. So the church started meeting once a month, and Brother Vardman served four churches.
And for those history people out there, that was called circuit riders.
That's right.
And in fact, it's interesting that now we have in the judicial system a circuit court, because judges did the same thing. They would ride around place to place and hold court in different areas. And preachers would do that too.
That's right.
So they actually may have had a home church, but they could have been pastoring several
right.
different communities.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And actually, we're kind of seeing that again in some of our more rural areas,
yeah.
where one pastor will either do two churches one Sunday, you know, at different times,
uh-huh.
or will, you know, serve a couple of churches. I know in Eastern Kentucky, there
mm-hmm.
are several
mm-hmm.
who will serve several churches in that same way. And oftentimes what they do is that the church body will meet every Sunday, but they'll only have a pastor once a month or twice a month, depending on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then after Jeremiah Vardman left, and their first several were that same model of circuit pastor. And then Lexington Theological Seminary,
mm-hmm.
what used to be called College of the Bible, their students who were seminary students all had to have a church that they served as part of their education,
okay.
right? And Providence was one of the churches that the seminary filled.
Mm-hmm.
So for many, many years, Providence had a new pastor every 3 years. Their pastor would graduate seminary and go on somewhere else, and they would get a new student minister. So for many years, they just had student ministers.
Okay. Were a lot of Christian churches churches that way.
That is true, yes.
Yeah. Were there other denominations that were like that too?
Sure that there were. Yeah. I'm so much more familiar right here just because it's the Lexington Theological Seminary is right in our backyard, and that is the model that they had.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the country churches, Bethany Christian Church, mm-hmm. they had that model for a long, long time as well. Usually the bigger churches didn't. They would have a called pastor just for themselves, but the smaller congregations would have student ministers.
Is there a point in history where it became the norm to have a pastor like you just at this church? Did that ever happen, or did
Providence? It was a decision that they made, and they made that decision somewhere in the 1980s, if I'm correct, and I don't have that date in my mind, but they decided as a body that they wanted a pastor who stayed more than 3 years, and that they wanted someone, not that students aren't phenomenal, but that they wanted somebody with more experience, and so at that point, they decided to go to a full-time pastor and have had full-time pastors since. The pastor before me, Jerry Johns, he now serves in Winchester, Kentucky, and he was with them for 16 years.
Long time. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
And then the pastor before him, Milton Lowe, who...
Know him well. Yes. Still lives here.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And we sometimes get to see him for events over at Providence. And he was with them for, I think, 20 years somewhere around there. So since they decided to go to the full-time model, they are not... they have long-time pastorates, I should say.
And for some of my fellow Jessamine County students out there, his wife, Verna, was involved in our school system for many years. Verna Lowe went on to be involved in education at Asbury and eventually became dean of students at Eastern Kentucky University. So quite a nice pass there in education for her. And so you may remember Miss Lowe. I remember Miss Lowe when she was a special ed teacher at Jessamine Junior High School. That's how far back I go with her. And I think that was when Milton was pastoring the church.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were both very involved. There's lots of pictures of both of them and much really warm, good feelings towards them at the congregation. And then that's one really nice thing as well, is that I don't have church members who have anything but positive feelings towards the pastors who came before
me. That's unusual.
And it is unusual.
Yeah, that is very unusual.
And so they've been blessed. And they're a very special congregation. And I think what I say about Providence is that while now we would be considered a suburban church, really it's a country church because that's where, back in the day, it was way out there.
Well,
Chesapeake County in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I was just sitting there thinking, I guess at one point, when I was growing up, when you left Fayette County line, I guess that was pretty much the only church between there and the Jessamine County line. Well, the city limits, as far as I can remember.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it is now, folks.
It is not.
I mean, there's so many, but back 100 years ago, when I was a little kid, you'd leave the city limits up here at the top of the hill next to the car wash, and you used, and I'm trying to think, I don't know of any other church before you got to Lexington.
I don't know of one either, and I coming from the other way, it was like such a long drive to Nicholasville, and Providence was the country church you passed.
Because, and some people might think, well, you had Porter Memorial. Yeah, you did, and eventually.
Yeah.
But at one point, because we always like to do this. Let me ask you this before I say that. Are you from around here?
I grew up in Lexington.
Okay,
graduated from Lafayette.
And what I'm going to say you'll appreciate, because I have people in this community and I tell them that I can remember the day when you would get to Nicholasville Road and the New Circle Interchange, over to the right, there was a little white house that sat in the middle of a field.
Yes.
Now, that is now Best Buy. And they look at me like, you're an idiot. No, that's the way it was.
Yeah. It was all country. And I love telling, especially the youth, about how it was when I was a kid.
Well, and it's always been that way.
Right.
My mother and I had the opportunity last year to be over on the east side of Lexington, and we ate at Parkette. And the owner, who we are privileged to know, happened to be there, and we were talking. And she was telling him about how she remembered going to Parkette when it opened in 1951, and New Circle Road was a dirt road.
Wow.
Yeah, she can remember driving, and he was just what? I don't even think he knew that. So, yeah, it's fun how generations like to play with the next mind.
That's right.
In the way it used to be.
That's right.
How many members does Providence have now? And is this a church that has consistently grown? Do you see areas where it kind of holds and then it booms? How is it?
I'm sure that, like, you know, I'm sure that through the years, like many churches, there's, mm-hmm. you know, area times of growth and times that, that are not. I can't really tell you through the years what their numbers were. Mm-hmm. I've had people tell me that when in the heyday, there would be 200 people in worship. I don't know. Our current sanctuary would mm-hmm. struggle to have 200 people yeah. all sitting at the same time.
Yeah.
And so for us, a large Sunday, like Easter Sunday, we might mm-hmm. be around 150. Mm-hmm. This past Sunday, we had 96, I believe was the number. So that's, we're generally under 100 mm-hmm. On a worshiping. But but our roles, of course, are
right.
much bigger.
Right. Right.
You know, when you and I were kids, you went to church every single
That's
Sunday.
Right.
That is what you did. Unless
yeah.
you were sick with a fever, you went to church.
Yes.
But now people aren't quite as
yes.
determined to be there mm-hmm. every week. And mm-hmm. we do have our every Sunday folks, of course. But a lot of people who come to church come, you know, a couple of times a month.
Yeah.
So we don't, if we get everybody there all at the same time, then we probably would be, our numbers are right around 200 for our roles.
Well, you know, one of the things we talked about when we, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Mount Pleasant. And one of the things that we talked about with that pastor is the fact that evidently Providence has done something right. Even though the crowds may not be overwhelming to some, they've done something right to be able to stay, if you will, in business this long.
That's right.
I mean, to have a congregation for that many years, something is being done that people enjoy and get something out of, to keep coming back and keep it going. You would love, I'm sure everybody at Providence may love to have 500 and 600 people a Sunday, but you don't have to have the huge crowds to sustain what you're doing. You got to have people who are interested.
Well, you know, there's a story. I don't know if it's actually a true story, but it's one that gets passed around a lot mm-hmm. by pastors, of a new pastor who comes in. And this is a pastor who comes into a new church, and he was placed there by a bishop. So mm-hmm. it wasn't where I was called to Providence Christian
right.
Church. Some pastors, Methodists, are often placed in
sure,
a church.
Sure.
So he arrives on the first his first working day, and he says to the elders, "Now, how many have we got worship in here?" Mm-hmm. And he said, "Well, sir, we're proud to tell you that we have 300 people." And he says, "Well, with a little work, we'll whittle it down to 50, and we'll have us a good church."
And, you know, it's like that way with a lot of things
right.
in our life. Numbers are great to brag about, but when you get right down to the nitty-gritty, you've got a core group that
right.
first that you can depend on,
That's
that you
right.
know are going to work and know you're going to do it. And with those people, you can do lots of things.
Oh.
And the nice thing about Providence is it has sustained not only all these years and its mission. I was just sitting here thinking, how many pastors has it sent out into the world
right.
to do that same thing in other places, through the teaching
That's
that you
right.
were talking about and things like that? So to continue to go on, you got something going on pretty good up
yeah.
there.
Yeah. yeah. And I do think that, for me, that comes back to the culture, which is really still a country church.
Sure.
And I think even though we have a lot of members who have never known it as a country church, mm-hmm. they have that feeling, that mm-hmm. family feeling. We still have a potluck once a month.
Yeah.
There's not many churches who continue to do that,
yeah.
you know. There still is, when there's a funeral, the food comes out.
Right.
You know, when
right.
somebody's sick, people take food to them. There's
right.
there's just still that family,
yes.
country feeling, we're going to take care of each other. And that's, you know, in today's day and age with such crazy mm-hmm. things going mm-hmm. on in the world, Providence Christian Church really supplies to each other that net,
yes.
That safety net that
right.
sometimes life doesn't provide. And so then you know you can count on your church family. And I will just say that even though I was called as the pastor, this past December, my husband and I, we nearly lost our son who had a very grave medical situation and was given a 5% chance to live.
Oh, my.
And it was during those weeks that I got to enjoy that,
yeah.
church family was, I knew, praying on their knees very
right.
hard, but also brought food to our house. We're sending cards in the mail, sending texts, and we're even letting us know that that, you know, our son's name was being lifted up in church, even when we weren't there. So I guess it's the first time in my life, while I've experienced hardship, this was the first, you know, like take you to the ground kind of hardship for
me. Well, you've seen it as a pastor.
Exactly.
But it's still different.
It is to be on the other side. That's right.
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
Well, speaking of which, let's delve into a little bit more about you and how you got where you're going. Tell us a little of your background. You said you're from Lexington.
I am from Lexington, and I graduated from, I'm from the area completely and thoroughly, was born and raised in Lexington, and I graduated from Lafayette High School, and I went to Transylvania University, and then I went to University of Kentucky. I got our master's degree there and went into education, and so I wanted to be and was a teacher and loved teaching, and then started when we had children of our own, I started teaching adjunct actually at UK in the College of Education.
Okay.
For 13 years I taught adjunct and loved it. I just really love teaching. I love being with the students, both the little students and the college students. Mm-hmm. And that was what I was planning to do forever. Mm-hmm. I had been accepted to the UK doctoral program in education and was going to complete my doctorate and then have a career in education when I was called to the ministry. And so,
yeah, I've not been through that, so I have to ask, how does that happen?
Well, and to be honest, like so many people in my shoes, you know, when it happens, you think, okay, I am going crazy. But I was on my way to pick up my kids from school and just got this overwhelming sense and really heard a voice, although I knew it wasn't a voice in my car, voice in my head, so to speak, that told me that I wasn't heading down the path God wanted me to head down.
Now, you were a member, I guess, at some church.
I was very active in church. I've always loved church. And so I tried to make deals with God, as a matter of fact. I was very active in my church, and at that time it was children's ministries because my kids, I have three kids, and at that time they were young, and so I was very involved. I taught Sunday school. I was, you know, what vacation Bible school you need me, I'll be there.
Yeah.
And so I kind of said to God, okay, I'll teach another Sunday school class, or I'll you know, what else can I'll serve on the board or some other committee. I'll give my time to the church, but please don't call me to the ministry.
did you try to do those things, and it just
I just
kept knowing this is not the right place for me.
That's right. And honestly, God wouldn't even let me sleep. So I kept it to myself for 3 months of just trying to bargain with God and coming up with different options. Mm-hmm. And God wasn't having it. So, you know, I tried the Moses method and I tried the Jonah method and none of them worked. So it was only when I finally, I talked to my husband and then I talked to my minister, and thinking both of them would say, I think you need to, you know, see a doctor. I think maybe a psychiatrist is in your future. Instead, they both said, I think you need to
listen.
That's
what you need to do.
I think you need to listen. So I contacted UK and asked them to defer my acceptance to the doctor program. Mm-hmm. And I went over to the seminary and just investigated. And I just kept saying all along to God, which is, you know, hilarious. Now that I look back at my reaction, I know it was really ridiculous, but I kept saying to God, okay, I will do this. But the first time a door shuts in my face, I am turning around. I am out of here. Because I was going into a field where I had all holidays and vacations off, where I had summer flexibility, you know, even if I taught, to a profession where you have no holidays
especially
off.
In a church this size.
Right. No,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You have no holidays off. You come back from vacations in order to do funerals.
Exactly.
And you often are called in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So from this sweet schedule, really, academic schedule is really nice. You work hard. I'm not saying you don't, because
right.
I was a teacher,
right.
but the schedule is pretty nice, to a ministry schedule, which is not.
Well,
not
now,
quite as nice.
once you went back and got that education, how long before you did Providence? How long before you?
So I, of course, during seminary, I did student ministry, and I was in Danville, First Christian in Danville, and at Central, down in Lexington, and then my first church by myself was in Harrison County.
Okay,
and I was there 3 years before I came here to Providence.
Okay.
So I've only done ministry outside of seminary for 8 years.
Interesting road.
It is an interesting road. And I will say that I was very nervous about it, but say that when you're a little older, which I'm a little older, you bring a lot of life experience, and that ends up helping you.
And I would dare say that all of your teaching experience has to help in this experience also.
Right. Yeah. I guess it would have been really nice had I been teaching in religion.
Well...
That was not what was supposed to happen. And I get it now. And the one thing that I learned pretty quickly is, when God calls, you just need to go, okay, here we go.
All right.
Here we go. And it's honestly been an amazing ride. And it's a beautiful church. And I have just been honored and blessed every day. And I think that when you let go of trying to control the reins, that's when you get to relax and enjoy the ride and just go, wow.
We're just about out of time, but I have a couple of things I want to ask you. First off, tell us who your husband is and what he does.
My husband is Jean-Marc Hack, and he actually is currently a commissioner in the Department of Transportation in Frankfurt.
No, I've never met him, but I know his name.
Okay.
And the second is your kids. Name them.
Yeah, so we have three children. Mm-hmm. We have Benjamin, and he is graduating this May from University of Louisville in biology and chemistry.
Now, is he the one that was, okay, and he's okay now?
He is.
Good.
He's perfect
good.
Now.
And, the other
and
two?
Then Elijah is a senior at Transylvania.
Okay.
And he will be graduating and starting law school in the fall. Mm-hmm. And then our daughter is at Northern Kentucky University in the School of the Arts. And she's all musical theater all the time.
Good. And they're all doing well.
They're all doing really well.
So the final thing I want to ask is, if we have anybody listening out there that wants to know more about Providence, what is some of the ways that they can find out and or visit your church? Because I'm sure you would love to have them.
We would love to have
them.
We, and actually, I will also say that for a year, I had a little radio show.
Did you really?
That I recorded and emailed in.
Yeah.
So some folks may have heard that. We are open every Sunday.
Of course.
And we worship at 10:45 and have Sunday school at 9:30. And then we have a pretty great website that a church member keeps up for us.
Good.
And so you can Google Providence Christian Church. Probably the easiest, because otherwise you won't remember.
Easy to find. Yeah.
It's very easy to find. And we're on Facebook as well. And you can always do the old-fashioned thing and look us up in the phone book.
In the phone book.
if
you know what that is.
Right.
There's some people out there don't even know what a phone book is.
Right.
Well, I appreciate you coming. Our time goes quickly here, but it is nice to be able to have some history of especially some of our older churches in Providence, of course, one of the oldest, I'm sure, in this county. We appreciate you letting us know a little more about it so that we can get it archived and teach people a little about more where they live.
Well, we're honored to be 200 this year.
Sure.
And to be involved in this community, and what a great community.
You just had your celebration, didn't you?
I
think I saw a picture in the local paper.
Yes, indeed. We last, the Sunday before last on the 19th, we had what I call our family party.
Yeah.
May 20th. Is Saturday, and we're having a community party. So you know how when you have a little kid and you have your family party and then you have your friends party.
All right. So everybody out there listening, if at all possible, go to Providence Christian on May 20th and help them celebrate.
Come celebrate with us.
Nice.
Yes.
Good. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Doug.
My thanks to Carol Devine for coming in this morning and sharing the history of Providence Christian Church. Also, my thanks to you for coming in and joining us here on All Things Jessamine every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. We'll do it again next week. Also, join me on my regular show every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on Jess FM 105.9.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.